once again to the evening service. And the glory belongs to God and always will be God's glory. And we thank Him for that and we give glory to Jesus. And as you know, here at Doxa and stuff, we are, like all the other congregations around us, are expecting a revival to take place. And if you start to see the subtle changes happening all around us, you'll begin to realize that God is starting to put these blocks into place, and we say glory to God for that. And tonight's message is in line with that, and it's speaking about Christian maturity. Now, I don't know what your perceptions are regarding Christian maturity, but it speaks about your growth in your Christian life. From when you give your life to Jesus, you don't just start at adulthood and then everything starts going good. It's a journey and a process you follow. And tonight I'm going to go through that with you so that you can know and gauge yourself in your own journey with Jesus and know where you are standing currently. Because if you do not know, there will be many questions that won't have answers for you. And you will find that many of the ditches that others have fallen into, you're going to be falling into as well. So I'm hoping tonight, as the Lord has laid this on my heart, to open your minds and to think about these things during your journey to adulthood. Now, when we give our lives to Jesus, we are born in Christ. We are not born into adulthood. Our spiritual path takes the same path as a human child, starting as a baby, then to childhood, then teenagers, then to adulthood. Tonight, we're going to look at two of those aspects, and the one is infant and childhood. Now, I must, however, tell you that this growth takes place over quite a long time. It's not something that I jump from infancy to childhood in a year's time. It can take a long time for these things to take place. So when we have given our lives to Jesus, our approach should be always aspiring to being grown up in our faith, to reaching adulthood in our faith. For this reason, we know that Jesus gave leadership roles to the church and His ministry. We read about this in Ephesians 4, verses 11 to 13. And it refers to the fivefold ministry. Now what it speaks about there is that there will be apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. And that creates structure. So not everybody's calling is going to be the same. Wherever we are in our journey to adulthood. And Pastor Kobus is busy with the gifts of the Spirit. Am I right, Pastor? So that is also in line with preparing people to understand where they are and what their gifts are, so that they can take the correct line and not be drifting into other spaces where the Lord does not need them. There is no shame in where you may currently find yourself in your spiritual growth. We must, however, note and accept that not everyone will reach adulthood. So you can spend years going to church and stuff, but not everybody will reach adulthood in their faith. Some may remain as infants, others as at childhood, others as teenagers. Just like child development in your spiritual development is not without its fair share of problems. So let us look at some of these problems. Some will remain as big old babies, and others teenagers who think they have reached adulthood but are not there and can become a big headache in their growth towards adulthood, because they start leaping into ground where they are not prepared for. Now, big old babies are people who lack understanding as to where they are, where they ought to be, and how to get there. And when you're a baby early in your faith, and I'll get further on later into the sermon about it, you will find that it's something new. You've just discovered this wonderful thing. You've given your life to Jesus, and it's almost as if you start walking on the clouds for the first few weeks. You can't get enough of God. But there's a lot of information that you're being bombarded with, a lot. And as time goes by, you start to realize the amount you knew, you really didn't know that much. And you grow spiritually the longer you stay dedicated and you persevere. Because it takes a lot of time, prayer, perseverance, spending time with people who are in adulthood. That is why it's important as us, as children of God, to come to church, to join cell groups and stuff, so we can grow in the Word. You will not grow spiritually if you do not do these things. You cannot just come on a Sunday and just sit here and not participate in the things of God. How else are you going to grow spiritually? There are people who are out there to make themselves heard and make themselves seen. These are people who go about boasting about their prayer life. Their goal is for people to praise them. So they can tell you and stand there in a conversation and tell you how many hours they spend praying and how wonderful God is and this. Do not always take these people at face value. When you have spent some time with God and stuff, you start to look for deeper things. You start to look for the subtle things that people speak about, the gestures, their body language. And how easily we can be misled by people who are early in the early stages of their faith. And you find that those people fly too high too quickly. And before you know it, they disappear because they have not taken the time or not had the necessary guidance from people who are in the church, people who are in adulthood, in their relationship with God. So they have not received the correct guidance. And that is also why you see many, many pastors, early stages of their lives, they haven't reached adulthood in their careers, that they start to drift off the path and off the Word, and no longer are preaching the Word as what God intended. But they start to preach a version of that. And the sad part is the amount of people that end up following these people. And all of those souls that are led astray. And that's why we always say, go and test whatever is spoken on this forum in the Word. Go and pray to God. And if you feel you are not right, by all means approach anybody in this congregation and have that discussion. Because there are times where maybe something might be misinterpreted, but we hand ourselves over to God and we pray that whatever gets spoken here is the truth, and we'll always persevere to be that. Now, starting with babyhood. Babyhood is where we all start. A baby has no past, so when you have no past, there's no guilt. You are clean. You haven't been contaminated by the world. And God is our Father, who we are born into. We are born into His name, His reputation, His authority, His accomplishments. And I will repeat that. His name, His reputation, His authority, His accomplishments. Not your name, your reputation, your authority, your accomplishments. And you need to be clear on that matter, that nothing that we are is from us. It's by the grace of God that we even stand or sit here tonight, that we are able to hear the word which the Lord has given us. So I urge you not to go out there and be boastful and say, I did this and I did that. Rather say, give glory to God, for God has blessed me with this and God has blessed me with that. Amen. So as a baby, we see that our spirit becomes alive to the things of God. A newborn is also susceptible to influences. A major sign of this new birth is the craving for God's word, and they will go anywhere to receive it. If they don't get it from the mother being the church, then they will go everywhere else to find it. So you will find that new members of the church who come and give their lives to Jesus are actually given more attention and are put into cell groups and stuff so they can grow. So they don't go out there into the world and get false doctrines which are out there and lend their ears out to false prophecies and all these things. So as the church, we are not to be baby bashers, neglect or abuse these children. In other words, we need to put the time into these people so they can start to grow from a baby to childhood to teenagers, then to adulthood. So we must not attack these people with criticism, not following up on their well-being, using them for all sorts of things to satisfy the needs of the church. And we must be careful of that. Because so easily these newcomers, they are people pleasers. And we start to use them for all sorts of things, where we need to be mindful that these people are here to receive the word of God. And in everything we do, every gesture we make, we must help them. Help them on their spiritual journey. And have God in every message that you apply to their lives. Romans 15 verse 1 says, we who are strong ought to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. How do we do this? Through intercession, through encouragement, and through training. Now moving on to childhood. 1 John 2 verse 12 to 13 says, I am writing to you, dear children, because your sins have been forgiven on account of His name. I am writing to you, fathers, because you know Him who is from the beginning. I am writing to you, young men, because you have overcome the evil one. Now, yeah, the Apostle John is writing to the children, young men and fathers, not in the physical form. John is looking to these people and their spiritual journey, at what stage they are. They're either in childhood, young men, or adulthood, young men being teenagers. And we know that he acknowledges them, not on the same level. So they are not all on the same level. That's why he addresses them independently, to show them that they're not all on the same level in their spiritual journey. During this childhood, we find that this is the age where nothing seems to go right. It is the time of great mistakes, a time when you seem to learn by trial and error. It is also a time where you explore, test, and try out your newly taught skills of sitting, standing, walking, talking, and feeding all by yourself. Now, children learn quickly as they are bold and daring. Their excitement overrides the pain of mistakes. As children, we leap before we can walk, and we often fall on our face. Now, children's mistakes are often forgiven because of the joy of seeing them grow. Now, all of these things that I'm speaking to you about now is what happens in the childhood of a child. But the comparison comes that your spiritual growth is exactly the same as what a physical child will grow. Your spiritual growth will take the same path at the same time. And you will make the same mistakes and do the same things. So as Christian children, it is a time when we allow them to grow by giving them room and not suppressing their growth. The Heavenly Father is the first priority for believers in the childhood phase. The reason for this is that every child needs a father figure. And in their life, they need this for healthy development. Without somebody to look up to, these children will go out there and do all sorts of things that they should not be doing, say things they should not be saying, preach things that are not of God. And that's why it's important that there's good leadership in the church to guide these people on their journey when they're at childhood. The Father encourages, He comforts, He exhorts, in other words, strongly encourages, and He disciplines. So all of you on your spiritual journey will be disciplined at some point in your time, or some point or time in your life. We know that children are inconsistent and struggle to stay with their goals and pushing through to its final completion. Children are sense-ruled. They are not always true to what God is telling them. They are driven by their senses, so they are not spiritually driven when you're in the childhood of your faith. A lot of times, it's what you're feeling that drives you. And that drives not only your emotionally driven, your thoughts are driven by your emotions. So you find that when you're getting into difficult situations, you are making bad decisions. Because spiritually, you are not mature enough to deal with these things. They are threatened by adverse circumstances and often crumble. In other words, things that are preventing their success or development or unfavorable circumstances. For children, there is faith when all is well. So when things are going good, they are the closest to God. They can tell you everything about God. But then things start to take a turn and they start to go bad. Then you start to see doubt start to creep into their lives. And all of a sudden they start doubting themselves. When they receive word from God, they're doubting what they receive. They're no longer believing in this awesome, mighty God which we serve. Where a person in adulthood will do things without question, a child starts to falter. And then we get to unbelief when things start to get worse. So something catastrophic happens on their journey and they no longer believe in God anymore. It's like God has disappointed them. And it's not the case. It's that their spiritual journey is not at the mature level to be able to deal with those things. And that is why you've got to seek guidance of people who are in more mature level of their spiritual life. We know that inconsistency is due to inexperience and lack of practice. And you will find that a lot of times people will come and they will quote something, oh, the Lord told me this, and the Lord says this, and the Lord says that. Next week, they're telling you, no, God is telling me now this, I mustn't go down there, I must go down that. And everybody tonight knows that if God is giving you a message, it is just and true. You can take it for what it is, and there will be no doubt. The Lord is not going to change His mind next week. So the moment you hear such things, you must know that this person, there's red flags, and this person needs help. He needs guidance. He needs somebody to take him by the hand and say, listen, brother, what you are busy with is not right. For God doesn't do these things. And quote Scripture. Quote Scripture. Don't give your opinion. Show him in the Word. Show him, let God speak to him through the Word. So he see for himself. In John 8, verse 31 to 33, we see that the Jews clung to Abraham and rejected the counsel of Jesus. So, if we are Christians today, we do the same thing when we are children. We tend to latch on to some verse, some favorable verse in the Word, and we can quote it back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And this is what Jesus said to the Jews who had believed Him. If you abide in My Word, you are truly My disciples. Because these Jews were all speaking about Abraham and Moses. And at not one point in time could they see that the Messiah Himself is standing. Jesus Christ is standing before them. So they were latching on to some figure, some truth from the past, and not onto Jesus Christ, who they should have been focusing on. Now we must be honest, admit our immaturity and mistakes. Children do not always know clearly what their calling is. And then they end up committing themselves to a 9-day week. A 9-day week meaning they start to participate in everything that comes up. Before you know it, they're failing everywhere, miserably. And they can no longer meet commitments. And then they find their faith starting to fall. And next thing, you don't see them in church anymore. Because they feel like they're a failure. And the enemy will exploit that to the greatest extent. And you will reach out to these people. And I can tell you this story. I know of a young pastor who opened up a congregation, and I won't mention where. And at the time, I spoke to this person and I said, you know, is it not a bit too early to be taking on such a big responsibility? And this person was so full of fire. And today, that person walked out of that congregation and is now back in the world. And you know, when I spoke to them, the words they told me was, that God was not there for them. Because they were being attacked by the enemy through their own congregation. And instead of going to seek help, they tried to go it alone. And it's sad, because I've prayed for this person. And when I see that, then I know how difficult it must be just for Pastor Werner and Pastor Kobus and all the other pastors around here who are being bombarded by the enemy day in and day out. And if you don't have a support structure around you, you will not make it. I can tell you now, it's important that you have a support structure around you, otherwise you will not make it in your faith. For even the strongest and the best of us will stumble and fall. But God is just and true, and He will lift you up. He will take you by the hand, and He will be there for you. He will surround you with the people. If you open the door, you let Jesus in, these people will be there to take you through to the end. And they will carry you through. You will come out stronger on the other side, and you will be able to actually say, in your face, Satan, in your face. I serve Jesus, who is more mighty than anything in this world. And glory to Him. Now, some of the attributes of children are, they are talkative. Ecclesiastes 5 verse 3, a dream comes when there are many cares and many words. Mark the speech of a fool. So as children, they can be talking quite a lot. And let us beware of that. Proverbs 10 verse 19. Sin is not ended by multiplying words, but by prudent hold of your tongues. So as children of God, we are actually, as that saying goes, they are yellow in their color, very talkative. And they can talk Jesus all day from morning to sunset. And most of the time, not even knowing the context of the words they are speaking, but they've come across it or heard it somewhere and have not really matured to the point where there's any depth in their thought. But we, the adults who are adults in the congregation, need to take cognizance of this and guide these people, not tramping all over them, but give patience and help them to understand and to bring deeper meaning. And that is why you have these Bible sessions where there's some questions, so you can allow these people to get in deeper into these issues, because you cannot always discuss that from the pulpit and spend the time that these people need. You will see that children have opinionated talk. They are foolish speaking. They idle words. The children are impressionable. And blessing seekers. Spiritual children love whoever impresses them. And this may include preachers, ministers of the gospel. Make sure it is real. And that the thing is real. Verify the truth. And in conclusion, children will do anything to be accepted and praised. We all do our growing up, and our goal should be to look forward to the next stage of growing up as teenagers. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, three times a